So we've been in a series on 40 days of prayer. By the way, it's good to be back to Hope Church today, and we're going to talk about prayer in a couple of minutes, but I thought about that hootenanny holler, and here's what I was thinking. We're going to have Jennifer Davis lead in line dancing, and she's a professional ballerina. She's really good, but I thought, you know what? I think that Jennifer, the staff, could lead with you. I'm stepping out into the deep end. The last time, and by the way, if you're like, you're not allowed to dance in church, it's not line dancing, it's line choreography. So you're Christians, you're safe. But last time, I went with a group up somewhere like in Pineville or something, they did line dancing. And I mean, I was like 100% focused. I think I was blowing brain cells, and I kid you not, the lady who was in charge of it, she stops everybody, and I'm feeling a little insecure. She points at me and says, "Hey, don't be making fun of this." No joke, so then I tried even harder. I know this is why half of my brain is dead. I am doing like the best I can, and I'm like into it. No joke, she comes over, she says, "You know, it's not really good if you make fun of this." So I'm putting my insecurities aside, and along with our other staff, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Zach, we're going to be part of leading the line dancing. Just so you know, I kind of beat to a different rhythm. We're going to have fun. Hey, if you haven't signed up for that, I know I wore this Valentine's Day, what's this week? Right, Friday night, do the Valentine's thing. You say, "Well, anybody is welcome to come to this." I borrowed some cowboy boots. I mean, I'm like really looking forward to that. And Jennifer, I'm not even going to ask you, but we're excited to lead with you the line choreography. So it's going to be good. Well, it's just so fun to be back. Last week, I know that some of the folks who went to Costa Rica shared about our trip, and it was absolutely meaningful. We were able to make a difference. One of the things they didn't share with you, it was, I think, Monday night, and we went to a camp. And so we're just going to participate. And part of being at this camp, they said, "Hey, there's this rebellious teenager, late teens, they're on drugs, and the night before they broke some glass and they were threatening to kill people, and we would like you to take them home in your van." Oh, okay, what a great idea. And our son Kevin's like, "Dad, no. You know, my wife's in the van, mom's in the van. You can't do this." I'm like, "No, Kev, we're good." So we're at the dining hall. No joke, Kevin takes a butter knife, slips it into his pocket. I'm like, "Well, what are you going to do, spread butter on him?" I mean, so I'm a little nervous, and then this teenager, when they find out, "Hey, you got to leave camp," flips out. And so we're in the middle of, like, I don't know, the nowhere in Costa Rica. It's pitch black out, and it's kind of raining, and we're following this teenager into the woods. And around, and I'm thinking things like, I don't know, there are animals, or what if they pick up a stick like a spear? And I think, no, my son has a butter knife. I'm feeling safe. Well, so I'm thinking, okay, I know, you know, like, you know, hey, we're telling our group, hey, pray for us. I mean, I'm feeling a little, you know, freaked out. And so we get back, and the teenager's just rebellious, so the police had to come. We're in our van leaving. And then our daughter-in-law recorded a little video of what I thought was a prayer meeting, because I have put myself in harm's way, so is my son. He not only is ready to, you know, he stole that knife, so that's bad, and he's ready to help me defend ourselves. So here's the prayer time that we saw when we got back in the van and left. Just want you to see that.
Yeah.
don't even know how I'm still alive. That is an elder's wife and one of my pastor's wife. I mean, oh, Lord, thank you for a church that was praying. No, they did say a prayer. I remember it was at dinner. Lord, thank you for the food. And then we were off. You know, it really, did they share that last week? Yeah, I didn't think so. So I thought it was my duty to kind of give you the full trip. Here's the thing. We had a great trip, and we really were used by the Lord. And then when the team came home on Wednesday, it was so fun for Sharon and me because we got to go down to the beach and hang out with our kids for a couple of days. And that was great, and it's kind of a bummer because now we don't get to see them for 5 months. But I love going down to the beach. I grew up at the beach, and one of the things that I enjoy is watching people as they're trying to learn how to surf. And a lot of people want to surf, and I'll show you a picture. That is actually me. Now, that was a good time in my life. My knees could actually touch my chest without any interference. But everybody, you're like, oh, I want to do this. And here's what happens. You'll see a kid, and one of the first things people try to do, if they have a boogie board or a surfboard, they hold it in front of them. I'll stop a wave. And they just get smacked. Have you ever been down to the ocean and just been pounded by the waves? Yeah. Yeah, and so there's this thing you have to learn how to do. If you want to surf, you have to learn how to do this thing called the duck dive. Right here. You have a board that floats. You're not going to go over the top. You have to go under. How many of you knew this? Are you like just going, man, I am so glad to be in church today? If you want to learn how to surf, do not hold the surfboard in front of you. You're going to just get pounded. You need to learn how to duck dive. And here's the other thing. When you're duck diving, you're in what we call the impact zone. The impact zone is where the waves are crashing. And the purpose in the mind of a wave, if a wave had a mind, is to drown you. So you can't go over them, and you have to be able to paddle like you mean it. Why do I say that? There are times where I picture my hand, a wave is breaking. All right, how's this going to work? Can you still hear me? I'm choking. So here's a wave breaking, and you're trying to paddle. If you don't paddle like you mean it, you do this. Over the falls backwards. Nothing about that is good. She's like, Jim, okay, you're in Costa Rica. We really feel bad for you. You have a little sunburn, and you're telling us how to surf. What does this have to do with 40 days of prayer? Well, nothing. No, I'm kidding. It actually has a lot to do with 40 days of prayer, and here's why. There are times in life where you have to, what I would call, prayer paddle like you mean it. And there's that time where you say, Lord, is it you? Yes, Lord, we love our pastor. Yes, thank you, Lord, thank you. And there are times when the waves of life just want to pound you. Have you ever been there? You're like, okay, I'm doing good in life. And then all of a sudden it's like a wave just smashes you, and you're thinking, what happened? I want to talk about praying, like really pray, paddle, like you really mean it. And then I want to talk about how do you duck dive under some of the things that just want to tear you apart. And I thought about, you know, this week I was watching these kids and older people trying to surf, and they were just getting pounded. And it so much reminded me of times in life where life isn't like fun on the beach getting a suntan. Somehow you decided, hey, let's kind of get out in the water, and then you feel like you're sucked in a riptide and you're going out and the shore is further away and you can't breathe and life is hard. And I kind of titled my sermon, I called it this, duck dive when you need to and paddle like you mean it. And I'm absolutely referring to prayer. There's an example in the book of Mark, and it's right after Jesus tells his followers, hey guys, by the way, I know you're liking the miracles and everything's good, but I'm going to be persecuted, and I'm going to be put to death. And you could tell they're really listening, because two of them said, hey, we've got this idea. So like when you get your throne, the suffering stuff, it's all good. But when you get your throne, hey, can I sit on this side and my brother sit on this side? And Jesus is kind of going, huh? I'm just talking about like I'm going to suffer, and you're thinking about, yeah, I want to be your buddy on the right and the left, because when you're ruling, yeah, we just thought it'd be kind of cool to be with you. And of course, Jesus says, John, James, do you realize what I'm going to go through? Oh, sure. You're in, we're in. And then Jesus kind of brings them back to reality. It was almost like a little prayer. Hey, Lord, can we do this and that? And the answer is no. Because I'm on a level you can't even comprehend. And I'm going to suffer in a way that you have no idea, because I care about you. And then right after that, we read this in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left the town, a large crowd followed them. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Heard that Jesus, the son of Nazareth, was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. All right, so I'm trying to picture this man is blind, and he's got to hear all kinds of noises. I mean, he's been sitting there, and I think there's noises of individuals, noises of the group. I mean, maybe there was a dog barking. Maybe there's a caravan going by, and there's laughter, and maybe he hears this deep conversation. He must have heard all kinds of noises, but then something happened, and the size of the group and the sound of the noise changed. Now, just park there for a second. Bartimaeus had been blind for years. Maybe his entire life. My assumption is that he probably didn't have any hope that he would be able to see again. And then the most glorious event happened. There's a multitude, and he's hearing noises, and out of the noise, somebody begins to talk about Jesus. Somebody begins to talk about this Messiah. Something inside of this man begins to swell, and he'd never seen Jesus. He probably had never been around Jesus, but he had heard enough about Jesus that when somebody, you know, was walking by, hey, man, there's Jesus, man, this is so cool. He can't see anything, but he starts paddling. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I mean, it's powerful. But then something happens. You see, he believed, he trusted, and life was hard for him. Actually, I don't even like this next verse in the Bible. Really. This is what it says. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And this is the part of this verse I don't like at all. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. I don't like that because it reminds me of just how we all are. Was it not bad enough that he was blind? And now, you know, there are people around him yelling, you're not good enough. You're blind. Don't be calling out on Jesus. You know who you are. We know who you are. And this is who you're always going to be. And there's just this part of me that says, he's already hurting, and people can be mean. You know, there's many, many times growing up surfing, and I remember times in Mexico, there are these perfect waves. But between the shore and the waves was the impact zone. And that's where the waves are breaking, and you've got to get through the impact zone in order to enjoy the waves. And I remember times being absolutely pounded. Remember the waves crashing on top of me and pushing me, and I'm hitting the bottom. And there's times where I'm thinking, I don't know. Do I really want to go out there, or do I just want to sit on the beach? And yet, I'm thinking, if I can just get out there, I'll have some of the best waves of my entire life. And there's that struggle in life where you're like, okay, I'm just being pounded. Nothing's going right. My faith is struggling. My finances are struggling. Everything. Should I just give up? You know, I got this report from the doctor. I feel like I'm just getting pounded. Think about Bartimaeus. Yeah, you know, you're right. Jesus isn't going to care about a guy like me. I just sit on the side of the road and beg. I'm definitely not part of the in crowd. Matter of fact, I'm not even part of the out crowd. I'm an outcast. I love what Jeremiah writes. He says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look to me wholeheartedly, you will find me." See, there's times in life where just our casual little, hey, God, can you help, isn't going to work. There's times in life when we get pounded by life and we need to pray like we mean it. We need to paddle for our lives in prayer, and really, instead of giving in, we need to give up to God, and we need to really mean it. And this is what I love about blind Bartimaeus. Listen to what verse 48 says. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus is walking by. He has enough faith because he's heard something about him that this could be my answer. So he shouts out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And everyone's saying, "Hey, be quiet. I guarantee you, you're not the one he wants to help." And he duck dives. Whew. Right underneath everything they're saying. He duck dives. "I'm not even going to talk to you. Poof. I'm going under you, and I'm coming up the other side. And by the way, I'm not talking now. I am screaming to the top of my lungs. Son of David," he's crying out, "have mercy on me. Now, come on. Have you ever been at that place where you're just so discouraged? I mean, he's there. He's there. The discouragement, his feelings. I mean, people have made fun of him. He is at a low of low. Now the answer is coming by and people are saying, you can't. And he says, I'm paddling like I mean it. I am calling out to Jesus like I mean it. I'm duck diving your opinion. I'm duck diving everything you're saying. And I'm going to go straight to the source. His faith. His faith pushed him beyond his reality. His faith in Jesus, who he had never seen, pushed him not to listen to the crowd. And I love it. And it goes on, it says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. I imagine people are going, huh? Jesus, do you know, like we believe according to our traditions, this person blind, it's because of his sin. And Jesus, do you not know the history? If it wasn't his sin, it was his parents. So he is living out exactly what he deserves because of what he did or his parents did. Jesus, this is not kosher. This is like a vegan having a steak. I mean, this doesn't work in our thought process. Was that about the steak part? You were hungry? Okay, just check it. At least I didn't tell you something about tacos, but go on. Let's just say in Costa Rica, there's good food. Okay. Tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up. Come on. He's calling you. Oh, man, I could just drink that in all day. Because this isn't just about him, it's about us. When life is hard and you feel like, I got nothing to give, and life has been pretty harsh, here's what I know about prayer. Come on. He's calling you. Come on. He's wanting you to cheer up. So they called the blind man, cheer up. They said, come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Is that a little weird to you? I mean, he can't see. And he throws his coat. You don't do that because you're not going to find it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, wait a minute. You're blind, and you just threw your coat. What if someone steals it and you don't even see them? I mean, there's all these weird things that go through my head, but here's what I'm thinking. Bartimaeus, he jumped up, and he said, I'm not going to let anything hinder me getting to Jesus. I'm going to take off this coat because I don't know if it's long, and I'm going to trip over it. There's nothing. Chucks his coat, he's like, I don't care. I am getting to Jesus. And sometimes you got to not listen to the stuff. There's the people, then there's our own stuff that kind of hinders us. You and I have a direct path to Jesus if we take it. But sometimes you got to paddle like you mean it in prayer. Sometimes you got to duck dive all the stuff that's going on even in your own head. And you need to realize this. Come on. He's calling you. So then it happens. Blind Bartimaeus is standing toe-to-toe, face-to-face with Jesus. It's unbelievable. And Jesus says this, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked, my rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. If you don't look a little closer, you can miss it. Jesus, Son of David. That's one term. But then there's another term. Rabbi. It's a reverent term. It's a term that actually, if you were to say it like this, my master. I want to see. Not the, hey, Jesus, you're the Son of David. You're that one. No way. I chuck my coat. I'm running. I'm standing toe-to-toe to Jesus, and he just asks me what I want. Rabbi, Master, I want to see. I'm right here. I know they told me, you're not worthy of this. I know I'm blind. I don't know why I'm blind. But, Master, could you just see my heart? Could you just look inside of me and just see? I know exactly what I want. I mean, I'm duck diving these people. I'm duck diving what they're saying. I'm paddling like I mean it. I'm right here with you right now. And I'm super serious. Rabbi, could you just help me see? You need to understand when you pray that the Lord loves you and he wants to answer your prayers. And sometimes it doesn't have to be this radical. Sharon reminded me last night, she said, Jim, you know, the Lord really answered my prayer. And I said, well, tell me about it. And she says, well, we've always wanted to fish together, Kevin, Sharon, you know, me and that. And she said, I've always wanted to catch like a Dorado, a Mahi like you did. And we're fishing, you know, we're about halfway into our fishing thing and nothing, you know, there. And so Sharon said, I wanted to pray, Lord, could you give us this fish? And she began to think about it and thought, this is so selfish. Do I not realize all of the people we just encountered who have barely enough food to eat? And she started going down that list, and then she felt like the Lord put his arms around her and said, I love you too. And I know where the fish are, and I just want to bless you right now. And so Sharon said, well, Lord, I love you, and we've always wanted to catch a big fish together. So if you know where they are, could you just have us catch a big fish? Like within a snapperoonie. Bam! This big fish. Oh, not on mine. On hers. She reels it halfway in and she's like, Kevin, help me. And Kevin reels that fish in, and she said, that moment, I just was reminded that God cares about the big things and he cares about the little things. Can I tell you something about your life? God cares about that thing. I don't know how big it is, and I don't know how small it is, but if you really want to learn how to pray, there's a little secret sauce, and it's called this. Sometimes you got to paddle, pray like you mean it. And actually, it's not even bad to be emotional in our prayers. I mean, to put a little oomph into your prayer. And I'm not a guy who's like gets super excited or not excited. But I can tell you what, there's times in my life when I've really prayed like desperate prayers. And, you know, there's that, God, I need your help, right? And there's prayers, God, is it job A or job B? Or God, am I supposed to get married? Am I not supposed to get married? You know, God, I'm being tempted worse than I ever have in my whole life. I need you, God. I don't know, I can't even pay my bills. God, I need your help. And there sometimes needs to be an intensity in our prayer, like we're really serious. that we even believe in God more than what people are saying, more than what our brains are thinking. We actually believe him. Like Jesus really is the Messiah. He really is the one who cares. He really is the one who can give us hope. I like this psalm. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Wow. It is not bad at times to get emotional with God. Do you understand that you have emotion because God created you with emotion? And God's big enough that sometimes if you're angry and you don't understand, or you're just broken to pieces and wondering where he is, or you're just desperate because things you thought were going like this and then they made a U-turn on you and you don't even know what hit you, but you feel like you're drowning. I love another couple of verses in Psalms. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. You know what I long for, Lord. You hear my every sigh. Another psalm says it this way. You don't desire sacrifice, or I would offer one. You don't want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. You know, there's a blind man that really nobody cares about. And then there's Jesus. There's a blind man that people not only don't care about, but people tell him, you're not the kind that Jesus would receive. You don't make the religious cut. You're stained. You're not it. If you don't hear anything else from me today, hear this. If you've ever felt that, it's a lie. It's an absolute lie. Because God really cares about you. I mean, really cares about you. And he cares about when you're broken. And he cares about when you catch a big Dorado and it's flopping around on the boat and you can't wait to eat it. He cares about all of that stuff. The question is, are you going to paddle through in prayer or sit on the sidelines and get pounded? You see, this blind man had to make a choice. You're right, I'm nothing. You're right, I'm stained. You're right, I don't measure up. I've always been blind, I'm going to stay blind. I don't know, maybe I would have made that choice. But I'm sure thankful he didn't. And to me, it's not just about a blind man. It's about the goodness of Christ. It's about he's that good. That when you're feeling that bad, he's right there to say, I'm going to give you something today. I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you sight. I'm going to take you somewhere where you have never been. Because it's not about your badness, it's about my goodness. It's not about your weakness, it's about my strength. Don't put me in a little box. Don't make me think that I can't do this. I can do this. I love it. I wrote these words under my sum it up. And when I say sum it up, it kind of means I'm summing it up. You're really glad you came to church today. I told our safety team, I said, I spoke with the pastor. And today he plans not to talk for eternity and hopes that it counts for eternity. Don't be clapping about that. At least I'm going on another 15 minutes now. No, she liked that. I didn't mean to say your name. I meant Jennifer Davis. Amanda, the ones who danced and didn't pray. Okay. Have you ever gone off on a tangent? Thank you, Pastor Kevin. Yeah, he gets it. All right. Zach's going, wrap it up. Here's what I write, and I'm done. When is the last time you really spent enough time in prayer like you prayed like you meant it? God will give strength to those who simply throw themselves into his grace and pray in a way like they're never going to give up. And if you've never opened your heart to Jesus, I don't know what in the world you're waiting for. There'll come a time you get pounded in life, and where are you going to turn? I promise you, you can turn to him, and it makes all the difference in the world. You have a broken heart. You want to know your purpose in life. You want to have a life of meaning. That comes from knowing Jesus Christ and knowing him personally. Absolutely. And if you've never accepted Jesus, I encourage you to do that. I even have a Bible right here under Amanda's water. It's a great Bible. It's called the New Believer's Bible, First Steps to Know Christ. You can just come and we'll give you one. I want to pray with you, but maybe you say today, I'd like somebody to pray for me. A lot of times on Sunday mornings, right after the service, we invite elders to come to the front and spiritual leaders in our church who will pray with you, that God will encourage you, that God will give you strength, because sometimes we don't have it. You know, I'll tell you, I received a lot of strength on our trip. I was sick as a dog. I mean, sick. And the people who were on our trip, they really prayed for me, and I had to speak in services, and I had zero voice. And I was just thinking, man, I'm going to go lay down. That must be the Lord saying, Jim, you're done. But I'm telling you, I had people praying for me, and it truly, truly made a difference in my life. And so we want to do that with you today. Well, let's stand, and we'll pray together, and then you'll be dismissed. But if you would like somebody to pray for you, I'll invite the elders who are here today to do that. Father, thank you. Thank you that there's an example in the Bible about this blind Bartimaeus, that while everybody rejected him, you did not reject him. You brought him life, and you healed him, and you turned everything around. And Jesus, you are in the life change business. You died for us that we might find life and have it in abundance. And God, I know at times life is really hard, really, really hard. And I pray, God, that when it comes and when we feel like we're just being pounded, that we wouldn't turn from you, that we would turn towards you. And we would trust in faith that the Bible says you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ask or imagine because of the riches that are found in Christ Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that we would turn our hearts towards you, that we would pray like we mean it. And I thank you for the friends here at Hope Church today. God, bless them, keep them. May your face radiate about them, God, and fill them with your peace, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, and make sure you sign up for the upcoming choreography thing that we're doing in 2 weeks on Saturday.